Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. He's acted in and on Hawaii Five-O and also Hollywood movies like 20th Century Fox feature film, where he starred in the movie Enemy Lines 2. He's produced a number one hit movie of all time in Korea, Dragon Wars, which grossed $40 million in Korea and $10 million here in the United States. Through it all, he's seen the highs of material success and the lows of homelessness. He relates with the fears, anxieties, the pains that many experience today. And he's here to share how Christ has seen him through. His mother is also here, although she doesn't really look like his mother. She looks so young. But she's also an actress, and she's been on two episodes of Lost and other features. But we here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio, we bring certain special guests into our studio, like we have today, because of the compelling nature of their story and the gripping way in which Jesus Christ has made a difference in their lives. Have you ever wondered if Christ can make a difference in your life? Right where you are, at this very moment, whatever you're going through, that Christ himself can change things, that Christ himself can do something in you and through you? Well, that's why we have this program, to lead you to Jesus, for you to know how much he loves you and knows you, and that the Christ who died on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood on that cross, who was buried, but 3 days later he was raised from the dead. Well, Jesus, the living Christ, can make a difference in your life today. Dennis James Lee, he's done it all. From gangster to homeless person to filmmaker, actor, singer, songwriter, and even foreign missionary. Throughout all this craziness, music has always been a central part of his sanity. He just released his third album. It includes songs that hit the number one charts there on many internet sites. One of the songs is the powerful rock ballad, You Lift Me High, which reminds us of the ultimate sacrifice of the Savior, Christ's love, how it has personally touched Dennis, even in his darkest times. And the lead song, Hold On, is about individuals dealing with addictions that eventually find the spiritual strength to step back from life's abyss. And the title song, Light from My Heart, is about those that serve the less fortunate and are compassionate to the sufferings of children around the world. He also has a CD here called Under Your Shade. Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't it sound great to just be on the hot, scorching, blistering moments of life, to be under the shade of Almighty God? Well, this is Dennis James Lee's newest release, Under Your Shade. He also does a special work along with his mother in Haiti, and a project that has resulted in a documentary that has enlightened viewers who have seen it to the plight of what these young children, these children go through, and how we, you, me, us, how we can make a difference. You mentioned, I talked about his mother. Well, Tomiko Ok Lee is a Korean actress and producer. Very colorful story in itself of a single mother. She starred in several television shows and movies such as The Birds of Paradise, Soap Girl, The Last Eve, and like I said before, two episodes of Lost. She was also a producer of Soap Girl and The Last Eve and was very instrumental in the production of the documentary Innocence Abandoned, Street Kids Abandoned. So, Dennis and Tomiko, it's a pleasure to have you with me in studio. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Dennis, I'm going to start with your mom here, okay?
You went over a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's just scratching the surface, you know. Tomiko. Now, doesn't that sound like a Japanese name?
Yes, I was born in Japan, and actually by Korean parents. So the name is used as a show business. You know, it's very hard to pronounce Korean name. So I just an easy way to just give my Japanese name.
Tomiko, so you grew up in Korea.
Yes.
What was it like for you at that time when you grew up in Korea?
Oh, I came from a large family. I was the seventh of eight children. My parents always struggled to raise a family. But sometimes I'm there, I'm not there. So it's just like most time I'm not visible. I mean, you know, sometimes my parents too many mouths to feed. So they send the family to family. So I end up sometimes just like a homeless girl. Mm-hmm. Like abandoned by parents, and they didn't abandon, but actually just like too many kids, and they couldn't, you know, feeding everybody. So I end up from one family to another. So I was pretty much, you know, rough life I had when I was young.
You learned how to survive.
Yes, it's a survivor. Yeah,
you're a survivor.
That's why I understand how these children in Haiti, how they feel. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to survive.
Well, we talk about survival, and we talk about children in Haiti. We've got to come back to that. Part of your connection with Haiti has to do with your son, James, Dennis James Lee, the actor. So, Dennis, take us back.
Okay.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up pretty much in the islands. I went to Hawaii Baptist Academy, you know, a good school. And, you know, at that time, you know, I didn't really think about God that much. But it was an integral part of the curriculum to study the word. And what had happened was eventually when I left the school, I didn't think about God at all, you know. And, you know, right now, of course, in my life now, he's a central point of everything I do. So, you know, going backwards and getting out of school, you know, working at Safeways for a few years and then eventually going to Hollywood, I wanted to pursue that dream of acting. You know, it's ingrained in my mom, you know, and also my biological father, whom I've never known actually in Korea, because we came over to the United States when I was about 1 year old. And so he was part of the movie industry also. And when I had that bug inside of me. But, you know, there's a big difference between wanting to do it for a specific reason as doing it for God or doing it for myself or for my girlfriend or for fame and glory. You know, it's really, really different. And the results end up differently, too. So when I went to Hollywood, I went there to become an actor. I wanted to become the next Bruce Lee or something. You know, in our time, it was Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee was the man.
Yes, I used to make believe I could fight. I couldn't really. So I went from audition to audition. I got a few parts here and there. Actually, a group of us from Hawaii went there. Mm-hmm. And we thought we could knock down the doors and they would take us. You know, and Jason Scott Lee was actually at that time, I think he just got the role for Dragon. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, oh, we could get it too, you know. But little did we know how competitive it was and how hard it was. So I ended up, I was very, at that time, you know, lucky, I thought, you know, but I was very blessed at that time to get a few roles. But inside me, I knew that there was something missing. there was something missing, and I felt this emptiness. So I was always searching for something, either in a girlfriend or a notoriety or a fortune. You know, I thought that would make me happy, but actually it didn't. It actually drove me really down. So even though I did those movies like Dragon War and I did Behind Enemy Lines 2, I wasn't happy at all. Because even on the set, when I was on the set, I'd have a can of beer or something like that in the trailer, you know. So that was kind of like my lifestyle. And then next thing you know, the girlfriend that I really, really wanted to get married to, I mean, I'd hate to say, I mean, I don't want to offend any LA people out there, but, you know, some of the women over there are very bipolar, you know, so especially in the acting field. So what had happened was that we used to get into fights, like driving 90 miles per hour on the highway, and then she would try to hit me with her high heels while she'd jump out of the car, and I'd pull her back in. It was,
sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it was that kind of lifestyle, yeah. You know, because the Lord wasn't present in my life at that time. And even if a Christian person came up to me and asked me, you know, do you know about Jesus? I said, no, I don't really want to know about Jesus. You know, I'm too busy doing this. I'm too busy getting hurt. I'm too busy, you know, having heartbreaks. You know, leave me alone about Jesus, you know. But now, of course, I realize is that he's the one that mends the heart. He's the one that mends the lives. And if I knew that then, my life would have been totally different.
That's ironic because we can be so busy in the pursuit of our goals. And when we are, we're so engrossed in it, so enraptured by the potential of it, we could care less about God, about spiritual things, because we're so engulfed in reaching this goal. You talk about that. I think people can relate to that. People can relate their own parents or their own spouse is engulfed in the pursuit of a goal, whatever that goal might be, and are blinded by what the needs are. And sometimes it comes to a point where we break or we get close to breaking through the hurt. What happened with you?
Well, you know, I used to think maybe it stemmed from my mother, it stemmed from my not having a father, it stemmed from my insecurities. I wasn't really sure. You know, I couldn't get a grasp on it. So that's why I went to those ways. My mom was very supportive, you know, at the time. She wanted me to reach that goal, you know. And, of course, at that time, she wasn't really Christian either. So, but I did learn about Jesus when I was young. So
that's at school.
Yes,
right?
At school at Hawaii Baptist. In one pivotal moment, going a little bit backwards, it was like at camp. You know, we used to sing around the campfire.
Right.
You know, many people, you know, kind of brush that off as just like some childish thing. But it was important part of my life because I realized who to turn to when nobody else was there, and it was actually the Lord.
It's good that you mentioned that. Well, and then basically we're giving kudos to Hawaii Baptist Academy, man, right? I mean, for being faithful to the calling that you have as a Christian institution. Hey, and you know those campfires?
Yes.
We never know what's being deposited in the hearts of the youth, the child. And one day, I hope you will soon share. We're going to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, I'd like for you to take us deeper. Dennis James Lee. It sounds like Bruce Lee, man. I mean, you got the name. But take us further. What happened? And then also share with us a little of what took place when a guy driving a Harley Davidson came up to this church and you happened to be there and where you were at in your life. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, you're going to hear more from Dennis James Lee and his mother, Tomiko Ok Lee, a Korean actress, producer. Dennis, a songwriter, singer. Gosh, he's done it all. But you know, he's done it all. And he's finally come to the all in all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made a difference in his life. He's bearing witness today, so stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call, so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
I imagine somebody growing up here in Hawaii, going to one of the fine institutions of Hawaii and getting a real great foundation spiritually, biblically. And then he goes off and he goes for his dream to become a movie star. And he tastes that dream. He understands what it's like. Hey, and it's in his line. I mean, his mom's an actress. His dad's in the movie industry. But fast forward, he's in Haiti looking at young children that are abandoned, that are hurting, that are broken. And he puts a documentary together to help facilitate healing and hope for young people. Well, I'm speaking of none other than my featured guests today, Dennis James Lee and his mother, Tomiko Oakley. They're here in studio with us. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm glad you're with us today because we've got an adventure in store for you that I just strongly believe that the Lord is going to bless you right where you are in your life and fill your heart with hope. To find out more about this program and to get this podcast for free, a free download, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Go there and also check out our other resources and pass it on to others. There might be somebody as you're listening today that you just know it will benefit them. Share it with them. And, of course, Dennis and Tomiko, their company is Cornerstone Multimedia. In fact, you can find out more about them and their company at cornerstonemultimedia.com. That's cornerstonemultimedia.com. So, Dennis, take us back. Take us back now. You were at the peak of success,
yet
things were beginning to unravel. What happened?
Yes. Actually, we were I was with a director who was a very famous comedian from Korea. He wanted to do an American movie with American actors. That's how Dragon Wars came about. So he would have us actually dress in suits. You know, everywhere we went. We went to Vegas in suits. We went to everywhere in suits. Even the beach, we went to in suits, you know, and filming on the beach. His view of life was, you know, different. I'll just say it, like immoral. So the way he had set up the system of how the hierarchy went for the film production company that produced the film. You know, of course, I don't want to really talk about it too much, but there was a lot of things that went on that I didn't really agree on morally and other ways. But eventually, after we had made the film, that emptiness was still there inside of me. Even though it was a great success, my girlfriend actually at that time left me for another person. So that kind of really broke the straw, actually, as you might say. It actually broke everything in my life. And so when I gave up. You know, there was nothing that I really, really wanted to do. I shot a music video that was from this famous Korean singer in Korea, in Los Angeles, and that was my last production. About maybe 1 month after that, I was homeless on the streets. Because I decided at that point just to spend all the money I had, whatever money I made. I had a very nice $50,000 car. Go out and party with, you know, Crips, Bloods, and neo-Nazis. I used to hang out in the area called the Jungle in Los Angeles because the common factor was, you know, drugs and alcohol, you know, and where to get it. So, and it's funny because those three groups, the neo-Nazis, Crips, and Bloods, they wouldn't associate in prison, but outside of prison they do. And that's because their common thing was also drugs and alcohol. So it was funny because the area that I stayed in downtown Los Angeles, maybe about a block away, was Robert Downey Jr. We're around the same area at the same time, going through the same kind of circumstances. I living on the streets was fun at first. I thought, oh, this is great. You know, I don't have to worry about anything, anybody. You know, I could just drink my life away. But the thing was is that I felt this kind of like darkness, you know, coming into my life more and more. The friends that I thought I had, who were the Crips and the Bloods and those gangsters, they started turning on me because they you know, at a certain point, when they ran out of money or ran out of drugs, you know, they would look to me to go get this money that that I had before, but I ran out. So they hatched a plan to, you know, have me kidnapped and also ransomed off. But see, what had happened was, and they were going to call my mother and say, oh, you know, because they thought that because I was a movie producer, you know, I had all this, you know, all this kind of money. But in actuality, it wasn't so. As the thing that happened was that at that time I started to pray, and I felt that the Holy Spirit, I didn't recognize it at the time, was with me. At one point there was this one guy behind this door with a gun, and I was supposed to go through this door. A supposed friend of mine was egging me on to go through there because, you know, there's going to be a party inside there, and I felt like that something was wrong. I didn't find out till later that there was a guy with a gun behind there. But something inside me told me, don't go through that door. So I just booked it the other way. You know, mm-hmm. I just said, okay, I'll see you guys. Boom, I was gone. And that happened like something similar. You know, circumstances happened a couple times. So while I was on the street, I felt like maybe I should hide away, you know. And so I ended up on Santa Monica Boulevard on the corner of Santa Monica and La Brea. That's where a lot of the churches have, you know, trucks with meals, for the homeless. And, they also, give out like medical attention to people that, you know, that are hurt or, that need medical attention. At that point, after 3 months being on the streets, my hands started getting infected, both sides of my hands actually. And, you know, they started to become, so big, like boxing gloves, almost like boxing gloves. But I felt the pain, but I didn't care, you know, because I just pretty much gave up on life. But at one point, my mother actually, I would call her up sometimes, and you know, she would say, you know, you got to straighten up, you got to do this, and I just said, I'll try, and at. But I didn't know at the time that my mother was actually praying for me.
So this went on for months.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you're living on the street.
Yes.
For six months.
Yes.
Okay, that gives context, yes. Right? Because, uh-huh. I mean, someone can be on the street for, mm-hmm. you know, a shorter period of time, mm-hmm. and overnight and say, yeah. they're homeless, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but this, I mean, you're looking for a place. You kind of know, yeah. where the place is to sleep.
Yes, exactly.
Where the cops aren't going to be.
Yes.
Actually, where you can get some food.
Yes.
So you're like surviving on the streets now.
Yes.
Now, Tomiko, as a mother.
Yes.
What were you going through?
Of course, this when you're, you know, one of a child, children go through this, it's just like you got kind of just, you don't know what to do, where you don't know where to turn. So, but I ask, you know, one of my... friends suggest to me, you have to go to church with me, start pray. So I said, how I do that? So she took me to 5 o'clock early morning, morning prayer. That was very, very powerful. So I did that about for at least a couple of weeks, and kind of I asked God, oh, answer me, dear God, what am I did wrong? I don't think I did anything wrong. And please answer me. I asked the Lord, just save my son. So kind of that, you know, a Korean lady get together. Then prayer is, Juya, Juya. Then it's very powerful.
Juya.
Yeah, Juya. Then you feel that. You feel that. And also they put me in position is, wow, this is, I have to really turn to the Lord.
Mm.
Then I gotta ask. I gotta give up everything. Then I bow my knees down and I pray with them. And those ladies 100% encourage me to pray every day. That's why I start seeing a little bit clear. Wow. This is powerful. Jesus is near. And then I ask, give me direction. Because before, I went to church for casually, but I'm not really involved with any, you know, just like every Sunday service. So, but since I got to this, through my son's faults, I learned, I live up to this all, this is my age up to now, but still yet, I didn't know about the spiritual warfare is there.
Mm.
So somehow God blessed me, opened my eyes quickly. I learned quickly. So then, you know, I asked to the Lord, use my son, my talent, his talent. So we've been show business for 25 years. Use us. That's why we come about this multimedia, you know, company. Then also I asked the Lord, at the time, I go back to, you know, what I was saying. I go back to with these Korean ladies. Then I asked God one night, give me verse, chapter, so I can follow that direction. You can guide me. So they give me Philippians chapter 4. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That was the first chapter. I hanging on that. Mm. That's as a mother, when your children are troubled, you gotta pray. You gotta just take everything, put on the side, just kneel down, you talk to your father. As your father, mm-hmm. you just, that's the only way.
And what had happened at that time when she was praying, and I didn't know that, it was a strange spiritual awareness that engulfed me, almost kind of like a discernment. I started being able to discern, good and evil, you know, and in people too. I had this feeling inside me that if something was wrong, and this was the time I was just telling you about the guy with the gun and all that was happening, but somehow I was protected. I felt I was protected. One point when I was walking down the street, while my hands were very infected, I asked the Lord, I said, you know, if you are real, Lord, I want to look for some pastor or priest to pray over me. And I was, as I was walking, 2 minutes later, I asked this one guy who was standing by the corner on Sunset and La Brea, are you a pastor or a priest? And he goes, I'm a pastor. How'd you know that? And so he prayed over me at that time. It was like, wow.
If you ever wonder, as you're listening to this story today, this testimony, do prayers really make a difference? Does God hear? Does God answer our prayers? The cries of a mother whose heart has been broken because her child is in a very low and broken place. Well, the word is yes. The Lord hears. The Lord speaks through His word. And when we respond to Him by faith, He hears our prayers. And He hears your prayers. Oh, dear mother, as you listen today, what is it that weighs heavy on your heart about your child? And I would even say, hey, Dad, is there something going on that you're worried about, that you're concerned about? Maybe it's even an issue of something beyond your control, something that you might need, a resource. Did you know that you can cry out to God? You can call on His name, and the Lord will hear, and He'll answer. Oh, sometimes it's in our greatest desperation that I think the Lord's ears perk up even more, because we are so done with ourselves and open to what God has always been wanting to do all along. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about the Harley Davidson situation and this bike rider and what happened. And then beyond that, you've heard of Cedars-Sinai Hospital. You know, a lot of famous people go to that hospital. There's a story that connects with that, with Dennis James Lee. When we come back, you'll hear more heart-to-heart. Hey, we like to just talk straight here in this program, because isn't that life? I mean, if we're going to really be genuine about things, life is not all about glitz and glamour. That might be maybe a cherry on the top of the pie or the cake, but a lot of life has a lot of mixing that takes place. And sometimes it takes work. Sometimes it takes pain. If you're experiencing pain, there's possibility of cherry on the top. You'll hear more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
He who has been forgiven much loves much. You ever wonder how some people can experience having so much compassion? How can they be so loving? How can they be so caring? How can they be so sensitive? Well, could it be that they have felt pain in a very unique way? Well, our guests today have experienced pain and suffering and feelings of great loneliness, even in life, abandonment even. But they have found the loving warmth and the embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guests today, Dennis James Lee and Tomiko Ok Lee, both seasoned in the entertainment industry, in movies, in production. They've starred in some well-known movies themselves, including even Hawaii Five-O. Of course, that's a TV series, but producing Dragon Wars, a big hit in Korea, the biggest hit that was ever produced, and many others. And as they have grown in their careers, they have also experienced some of the backside of what goes on in the industry. And, you know, anytime you get to know, well, it's like a relationship. Anytime you get to know somebody really, really well, you got to see the backside. And sometimes when you see the backside, it ain't all that it was, and you thought it was going to be. Well, to get this program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Dennis and Tomiko, his dear mother, go to cornerstonemultimedia.com. A new CD is out, Under Your Shade. You can find out more about that at cornerstonemultimedia.com. Dennis, I want to talk about this documentary that you guys are producing. That's been made, and I want to get into that, this documentary in Haiti. But take me back to Harley-Davidson, bike rider man, okay, and Cedars-Sinai Hospital.
Well, after I had met with that pastor, he had prayed over me on this corner of Sunset and La Brea. I was still, you know, homeless. You know, I was thinking, okay, if God is real, then, you know, maybe I have to go further and find him, you know. So the next day after I slept at the Greyhound bus station, I decided to go to a church to pray. And this was on a weekday. Obviously, the churches are not open. So I didn't know that. You know, that's one of the things I didn't know. I thought they were always open, you know. But I went to this big church. It was like a cathedral on Sunset Boulevard. And I tried to open the door, and my hands were all infected and everything. And I wasn't so much afraid of dying, you know, because I accepted the fact that I'll just probably just go into the darkness. But I just wanted to make amends. I just wanted to make amends to God. I just wanted to ask for forgiveness for all that I've done. And that much at least I knew when I was young at Hawaii Baptist, when I first learned about the Lord, that it was still inside my heart. That seed was still there. So even if I was going to just keg over on the streets from this infection, I was at least going to make my peace with him. So when I tried to open the door, it's locked. So I said, oh, well, maybe God doesn't want to talk to me. I just walk away. Next thing, you know, this guy in this Harley Davidson with these big muscles and kind of like that silver German helmet kind of thing comes along, and he goes to me, he goes, hey, what are you doing here? And I go, I just wanted to go into the church and pray. And then he lifted up his hand and says, well, I got the key. And it turns out he was the maintenance guy for the whole church. So he let me in. I was sitting in this church that could probably seat about like 2,000 people, huge cathedral. And I just looking at all the, you know, the statues and stuff like that. And I thought that was pretty neat. And I just sat down on one of the aisles, and I just looked at the cross that was in front of me, and I just started praying. And then next thing I know, I just all these tears just start falling from my eyes, you know, just on the, it was like a river, you know, and I was looking down, I could see all the droplets just hitting the ground, and I was just asked for the Lord for my forgiveness, and then I felt this peace come over me, you know, definitely, because before I prayed, I could feel this kind of like, you know how you like sometimes you're just anxious, and then you feel this energy, and just like your mind is just chattering. Mm-hmm. That's how it was at that time. little did I know that it was a spiritual warfare going on that was around me and inside me. And so right after that, I left to the Greyhound. I left to this one area where that they fed hot dogs and I think and drinks and stuff. So it was this one little church down the street. Then this one lady who was there, who was a nurse, she had a crucifix on her around her neck chain, and she asked, "My goodness, what, you know, your hands? It's terrible, you know." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Is it painful?" I go, "Yeah, kind of." You know, I realized it's all bloated,
to say the least.
Yeah. She says, "You got a big bucket of water, and they put some kind of iodine or salt in it." Mm. And then she put my hands, and then she started weeping too, as I was weeping. But it was just a lot of activity that was happening around us. Next thing you know, she gives me a bus token and says, "You know, go down to Cedar Sinai. You got to have this really looked at." So I did go, ended up taking the token. I was just being led by the Lord. But I felt like I was being guided at the time, because it just happened boom, boom, one after another. It wasn't like, oh, a week later or 2 weeks later. As soon as I made that prayer, boom, I was out of there. And I ended up at the hospital. Then the doctors came in and said, "Oh, my gosh." But they said, eventually took a look at it. I said, I would have died within maybe about like 3 or 4 or 5 days if I, you know, the poison would have gone to my mm-hmm, heart. Mm-hmm. So I said, "It's good that you came in at this time." So they rushed me into surgery, and then they took out all that infection things. So at that time, I called my mom, and then I told her, I said, "Oh, Mom, I'm in the hospital." She goes, "No, you're not." Yeah, because I was, you know, because at that time I was lying about this, lying about that. And so he's like, "No, you're not."
Yeah. So many lies. Yeah. You didn't know what to believe.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because,
remember, he's an actor, so.
So it was funny because, well.
But an actor, you can't fool an actress, right?
Yeah.
You can't fool Mom.
Yeah. Definitely can't fool God.
Yes.
And so I would, you know, it was funny because just every time I would call her periodically when I was homeless, always be the static on the phone, you know, just on the pay phone, on the cell phone, a friend's cell phone that I'd borrow. And so it was kind of strange. And it almost like something, well, the enemy didn't want me to get in touch with her. So getting back to being at the hospital, my mother flew in and she looked at my condition and she goes, "You look like the devil," you know, because I was all dark from walking around. My hair was really long. I had this beard. I looked like somebody from a kung fu movie, you know.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, you look terrible." But the doctor says that you got, you know, after the surgery, he said, "You could have lost your hands."
Mm.
You know, you better start, you know, flexing or exercising your hands. And that's when my mother brought me a guitar from the music store up in L.A., and so that's when I started practicing again. And I haven't touched the guitar in like 20 years, you know, and music wasn't so much a part of my life at that time, but I started getting back into it. And every time I started playing, I started crying, you know. It's like every time I'd write something, a lyric for the Lord, I just start, you know, bawling again and again and again, and it would be all the time. I guess it was, you know, now I know that it's the washing away of that, all that sin and that, you know, all that anxiety and things that happen. And of course, you know, during this whole event, you know, my mother once is reminding me that, you know, there was a very supernatural occurrence, you know, that happened a couple times. And that's how, you know, I knew that it was Jesus, you know, and it's kind of like a voice coming, but it's not auditory, but you've heard it. And then the Lord said, and I recognized it. It was a very gentle voice. Said, "I want you to follow me. You know, I want you to help save my people." And I go, "What is save? I save lives or save souls?" I had no idea what that meant at the time because I wasn't really learned in the Word. And eventually, of course, now I know He meant salvation, for salvation purposes. So I kept that in my heart. I said, "Lord, you know, I want to make this one promise to you that I'll dedicate my life to you, that I'll serve your purpose." That's the promise I stick to even to this day.
Dennis, somebody listening today,
mm-hmm.
they might be thinking, "Hey, I've gone off the wagon, way off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done things, I've been to places." Mm-hmm. As they're listening, there might be an inkling in their heart, hey, this guy might relate with kind of where I was in that darkness of life, in the dregs of life. That's all I know, to the point where I don't know if I'm just going to keel over, and if I do, I'll be in darkness. Is it possible, Dennis, for someone who asks, can I be saved? Is there hope for me? What would you say?
Oh, definitely. I mean, at that time, I thought I was the lowest of the lowest in society. I thought nobody cared for me. You know, my mom wouldn't call me. My friends all, you know, cut me off. And, you know, I thought, you know, I'd just be like some homeless guy in the street. And I was, you know. So anybody, I mean, going that low, you know, God is there. But it's just a matter of calling him and recognizing his voice. And for me, it was like, you know, I wasn't sure. You know, the only thing I could do is just be patient and wait. And I'm not a very patient person. You know, I do multiple things that, you know, almost like ADD.
I can relate.
So it's like for me, being patient is very difficult. But the circumstances I was in, I could relate it to others who, especially in Haiti, and the street kids that we visited there for a documentary that we shot. That was one of the first projects after many years of recuperating and actually going to church every Sunday. I thought it was just a childish thing before just going to church, but it's the integral part of my life that gives me the moral fiber to be able to know that what's right and wrong. You know, one of the things I didn't have was knowing what's right and wrong. It's always that gray in between. Oh, it's okay, you know, to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to have a few drinks, and you know, but for me, it's not. And I think that distinction has to be made for those who are out there who were in the similar situation I was. They have to make that moral judgment based upon the Word of God. You know.
Dennis, you mentioned Haiti in answering the question. Mm-hmm. Thank you for answering that. When we come back, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
This innocence abandoned. I mean, just those words alone say a lot. And I can see it in your eyes, the eagerness, the urgency by which you so desire to talk about this project that the Lord has given you to share. And as you do, Tomiko, Dennis, I believe the Lord is going to touch people's hearts, because you're going to enable us to see a different part of the world. We live insulated lives in many respects in the first world. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, let's go right into that. Why did God turn this man's life around? Dennis James Lee. Why did he redeem this man? Why did he show his power through Tomiko, Dennis's mother, and see the hand of God work? One key reason is to bring hope and redemption to innocent and helpless children who need the hope of Jesus Christ. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear it first from them. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Innocence Abandoned. It's a documentary. Street Kids of Haiti. That's where the heart is of this this documentary production. And Tomiko Oak Lee and her son Dennis James Lee have produced this. They are owners of Cornerstone Multimedia. And this production has come out to convey a message. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. And I'm grateful that you're with us today. I hope this show has been a blessing to you up to this point. And I think it'll take us even further in the grace of God. Dennis, Tomiko, talk to us about your documentary.
Well, the documentary was, we started filming it in 2008. A director friend of mine from a previous film had invited us up to Haiti, and my mother said it was a good idea to go up there to see what the situation really is like for these street kids. The director had made this movie a shorter piece in 2001, so we wanted to put two pieces together. And as we met these kids and as we were in Port-au-Prince, it was like just this totally different world from Hawaii, like almost exact opposite of Hawaii and Haiti. Both are islands, but just totally opposite of the spectrum of lifestyle. But the kids, you know, they beg on the streets. They get change on the streets. They live that way. There's no parent supervision. Some of them are killed by the police themselves. So we filmed that documentary, but the most important thing is we became friends with these kids. And so they would call us while we were editing back in Hawaii. We'd have to go back and film again. And we did that two or three times throughout the 2 years, three or four times. Then what had happened was that the 2010 earthquake happened in January. Mm. We had just left Port-au-Prince 2 weeks prior before the earthquake. My mother had a sense that something was going to happen. We thought hopefully it was good. So we went back to check on the kids, and you know, we recorded all the experience of going there on video. We couldn't get into the city of Port-au-Prince because the buses and the flights wouldn't go there. We ended up flying into Santo Domingo and then taking a bus ride there. As we got off, oh my goodness, like the stench was all in the air. You could smell the, you know, dead bodies all over the place. So we frantically look for some of the kids that we were associated with through this film. And one by one, we found them. They were just around the streets. One of them had passed away. But the documentary is based upon those 3 years with the kids, but also the previous years in 2001 when the director was there. So we show these kids who are like maybe 6 years old, who are now like 20 years old. So we show the lifetime of what they lived through. And that what they lived through is that many of them suffer from a lack of education, a lack of spiritual guidance, which is a big thing. Whenever we're there, you know, or missionaries come, you know, it's very temporary. So these kids don't have that sustenance. So that's why we develop Cornerstone Multimedia. That's why we're developing original concept music. That's why we're developing music concerts. We're developing also this movie for distribution, which just got accepted about a few weeks ago to the Monaco Film Festival. Mm. So Innocence Abandoned has been accepted officially as one of the selections over there. But that's just the way of getting the awareness out through the distribution outlets. And so we do everything. All my experience I had in Hollywood, I thought was useless, actually, at one point. Living on the street, how am I going to make what am I going to video while I'm homeless on the street in the corner trying to sleep there with out, like, letting the cops know, you know? And then that same picture of myself there, I saw a kid in Haiti right next to a car tire sleeping so that no one of the cops would notice him. So that is ingrained in me, and so I can understand. My mother, too, she was very, very she's a very sympathetic, compassionate person to start with. You know, I had to develop that. You know, God kind of like, you know, actually, it wasn't very...
yeah, first time when I went to Haiti with them.
Yeah, she...
And we thought we just going to take a few footage and help some other organization. Mm-hmm. But when we couldn't just took an image of them and walk away because kids, all the children hanging on me. Mm-hmm. I said, when I look at their eyes, they need help. I mean, so this is my mission. I have to do that. So when I came back, so I formed the Haiti Kids Now Corporation, like a ministry. So Haiti Kids Now organization, I developed that. So, okay, I'm going to find the sponsors. Then we're going to start support you. That's why Haiti Kids Now is organization is on the website. You can click on the website. So I try my best to help them, but that's not that easy. Mm-hmm. So I know God is with us and there's this whole this endeavor. Mm-hmm. So I know I trust God. I trust Jesus. So that's why we very blessing we be have a meeting with you and you know mm-hmm. this interview. So this can go further.
And that's what I was going to say. What we've got a couple minutes left. What mm-hmm. is your dream?
Well, like I said, all that experience and everything in Hollywood was useless, but God is using it for a purpose. Mm-hmm. So it's just like lyrics that I write. Now I always pray and I ask for his guidance in writing lyrics, like for the song Under Your Shade, like sown in heaven, you planted your mercy in a life that was given to save. In your creation, you gave me salvation forever under your shade. That kind of stuff I could not have come up with. So I know he's a part of us every day now. And as I see this progressing too, we always try to give hope to the kids in Haiti. We're still in contact with them. My mom actually sends support for them for orphanage over there with some of our older street kids who are taking care of the younger ones. But all this stemmed out of that, actually, our visit to Port-au-Prince in 2008.
To do something like this takes mm-hmm. the help of others.
Yes.
So, who's helped you to do
that? Well, actually, many of my friends, I just wanted to say a shout out to Pastor Randy, who part of the band, Rich, Frank, Sherry, Mac, Richard, and Lonnie, and then also our hula dancers who are Hitomi, Carol, Jolie, Terry, and Sherry. Sorry. But
sounds like you won the Academy Award.
but they're all part of different churches. Yeah.
That's very important, too.
Body
it's integral.
Of Christ.
Yeah. Body of Christ working together. Yeah. As well. Hey, if somebody wants to get under your shade, how do they get this?
Well, we have a...
this is hot off the press, right?
Yeah. We're going to see if Logos will have it on their shelves.
Okay. Okay, it's
on iTunes.
This is even pre-Logos now, right?
Yeah, pre-Logos. Yeah.
Well, look out. Be on the lookout for Under Your Shade. In fact, you can ask your bookstore, you know, or an outlet, hey, do you have it by Dennis James Lee? Free to follow, Under Your Shade. Yeah.
And if they want to know more, we have a conference coming up that on the 19th and 20th on April. It's a conference that deals with how God uses multimedia and the arts to be able to use it for his will.
And to find out more, was it cornerstonemedia.com?
Yes.
Is that where they can find? Yeah. Hey, everything you want to know about Dennis James Lee and Tomiko Oakley, Cornerstone Media.
Multimedia.
CornerstoneMultimedia.com.
Yeah.
CornerstoneMultimedia.com.
Now, even we have a movie night. It's the Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They can
yeah,
actually
April
watch the
20th.
Movie too,
they
yeah.
can watch movie. It's yeah. 7
movie.
O'clock.
Yes. Innocence of Abandon. Uh-huh. Okay. There you have it. Dennis, Tomiko, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
God
for taking
you.
The time to be here today and really to share your heart, your life, your ministry. I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Dennis James Lee and Tomiko Oakley. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. And if you want to partner with us financially, click the Get to Know Jesus tab and also the Partners tab to participate with us financially. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Mm-hmm. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests today, Dennis James Lee and Tomiko Oakley. Find out more at cornerstonemultimedia.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Jack Waters, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.